So with that, we're going to cover two verses in the book of Jude as we were going through the book of Jude. So the three and four, two verses. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's going to be our verses of study today. If I were to title this message, it would be Knowing the Need. Knowing the Need. Why do I say that? Knowing the Need. There's going to be three points that I'm going to cover. The first point is Jude's desired letter. Next point is Jude's needed letter. And then the last point is the character of the apostates, the character of ungodly men. And so why do I say that knowing the need? Because Jude here, he wanted to write a letter. He was in fact very diligent to write a letter about our common salvation, about the joys, the celebration that we have. He had a strong desire to write to believers concerning our common salvation that we have, which is only in Jesus. It was going to be a letter of celebration, of joys, of encouragement. Just like in the prodigal son of Luke 15, when the son came back, there was a feast, there was a celebration. That was what Jude was going to write about. A celebration that we had, the joys that we experience. So that was Jude's initial desire, was to write about our common salvation. You might wonder, what happened? Why didn't he? I was studying these verses, I was reading this book, I was going with you, you know. I'm anticipating what you're going to preach on the next Sunday, and so I'm reading ahead, you know, to study. I don't see that. What happened? Well, what happened was three things. The faith was being attacked by men who have crept in. The faith was being attacked. One. Two, these men who have crept in, they pervert the grace of God. And three, they deny our Lord. They deny our Lord. And so Jude's needed letter comes into effect to write that we are to contend earnestly for the faith and to fight for the faith. We are to fight for this truth that was once for all delivered to the saints. And so, Jude here knew that a letter to sound the horn for war, to sound that trumpet for war, was what was needed. And fight for the faith was more needed for the edification, for the building up of the church, than a letter of celebration. So that was what was more needed. I liked how King James writes it. It was needful for him to write a letter to contend earnestly for the faith. It was needed. And so he noticed, he knew this need. He didn't just write on instincts, but he wrote a letter that was needed. And so, just as Joshua, before the destruction of Jericho, marched around six times, seven times, then they blew the trumpets with the priests and the walls collapsed. So this is our time. We are the holy priesthood. The horns have been blown and the battle has started. Some of us are in the forefront. Some of us are in the trenches. Some of us are supplying those who are in the front. Others are the aid. And others don't even know that there's a war going on. And so we are to fight this war that Satan is the captain of. And so Jude says, contend for the faith. It's very interesting that he says, for the faith. It's not a faith that we think of, but it's the faith. The faith meaning the truth, the true Christ, the true meaning of salvation, the way of salvation, the faith. And if you would open up to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, briefly. It says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring to themselves swift destruction. So we see that there are people who will be false teachers who will bring in secret heresies, and they'll bring this destructive heresies. So we see the secrecy also, people who have crept in, these people who are in secrecy, and they even deny the Lord as well. This word deny, we're going to come across it quite often. It's not as you think. It's not a denial of just simply denying the Lord, speech denial, but it's a lot deeper than that. But we'll get into that a little later today. And so in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 and 19, it says that the antichrists are coming. The false teachers are coming. And in verse 22 says, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? And then deny here also, just as in any of these other passages, it speaks of denying in deed. It's not just talking about denying in speech. It's not denying and simply denying his name or to not profess his name. Because if you think about it, all false teachers, all Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, you name it, they all profess Christ's name. They all profess to know Christ. They all mention his name. And so it does not mean that they will not deny his name. They deny his being. They deny who he is. They deny his identity. And so they want their secret identity to be hidden. So they're not going to show themselves that they deny Christ. Why would they? They are hiding. They have crept in. So they want their secrecy to be hidden. And so just as they have secretly crept in, they want to keep their identity a secret. And so they profess to know him. They claim to know his name. They even might throw out a few verses here and there, but by their deeds, they deny him. That may sound like a familiar verse. It comes from verse 16 of chapter 1 of Titus. If you could turn there, please. It's a very important verse to highlight, box, underline, square, star. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. For every good work. Why for every good work? Because they serve Satan. For every good work. And so, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. We know that these men, these people, these false teachers, they cannot keep his commandments. Why cannot they keep his commandments? Because they will not. They cannot because they will not. Notice in Jude verse 16, it mentions they are walking to their own lusts. They are walking in their own lusts. So they fulfill their own flesh's desires. They cannot fulfill the Lord's desire because they fulfill their own. And so false teachers cannot keep his commandments because they will not. Simple as that is, that's how it is. So when John or Jude says, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? It is not of speech denial, but in deeds denial. They deny walking with him. They deny doing the things that he does. They deny walking as he has walked. They cannot do that. They deny Christ not by not submitting to him. They cannot submit to Christ. And when we walk as he walked, and we keep his commands, and we keep his words, then we know that we are in him. And so, just as Peter said, there will be false teachers among you, so John and Jude say, they are already here. They are already here. The false prophets are already here. The false teachers are already here. They're amongst us. And so that's why he says we must fight. We must contend for the faith. So again, why did Jude not write a letter concerning our common salvation? Because the faith was being under attack. So this is the character of a godly man. This is a character of a godly man. Very important to underline. That is a man driven by faith, that his mind is open to what is needed to be done for the building up of the church. He knows what is needed to be done. For instance, we were told of Barnabas. a couple Sundays back that the church was needed to grow in the early days physically. Barnabas, what did he do? He sold his property and gave it to the apostles' feet. He didn't grab onto it. He didn't hold on to his possessions. It was needed to be done, so he gave it away. And so we also read of Paul, Apostle Paul. Even though he loved the Jews, who was he sent to preach to? He was sent to preach to the Gentiles. He was an apostle of the Gentiles, even though he loved the Jews. It says that he would even deny his own salvation if the Jews, my fellow brothers, could be saved. But yet he was sent to the Gentiles. It was needed for him to preach to the Gentiles. He knew what needed to be done. And so, also Peter, Apostle Peter, when he was in jail, what did the church do? If you remember what the church did, in verse 5 of chapter 12, constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. We read that in Acts, that the church prayed for him. They knew what needed to be done, that they were constantly in prayer. And what happened? An angel appeared and let him go. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing what happens when a person has faith. And so here in our verses, Jude saw the need to write to the church to contend, to fight for the faith which is once for all delivered to the saints. He knew what needed to be done. He knew what needed to be written. And so we've covered so far Jude's desired letter was to write about our salvation, to write a celebration, and yet it ended up to be a letter of fighting. He wanted to write a letter of encouragement, but yet it's a letter of to contend for the faith, battle cry. And so next week, Lord willing, we'll cover the character of these ungodly men, and we'll go in depth a little more deeper on the issues of our common salvation So we're going to go a little deeper in regards to these ungodly men, their characters, and the faith that I was talking about, the truth, and so forth. May God's word be blessed. Amen.